The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
770 KMED. Here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning and welcome to the final Monday. I was going to say before Election Day, but no, we got one more Monday, and then it'll be Election Day, or at least the beginning of the count to the Election Day, and then it becomes election counting season. You know, they're talking about knowing, 4 or 5 days before we might know results of some of these elections, even more in Oregon, given the fact that it takes up to a week. You can count ballots up to a week after stuff comes in. No postmark. I don't know. It's very interesting times. Very interesting times that we have here in Oregon for sure. But anyway, welcome. Join the conversation at 770-563-3770-KMED. Hey, if you have anything on your mind, good time to hit it because we're going to be a little more guest heavy than usual today. Because you know, we were talking Friday about the Menendez brothers. Menendez brothers by George Gascon. George Gascon, the prosecutor there, the George Soros prosecutor, you know, that guy, he says that Menendez brothers should be paroled or should be resentenced. They have served their debt to society, supposedly. And I have a few doubts about this. And we're going to talk with Dr. Carol Lieberman, M.D., forensic psychiatrist. She deals with, you know, the criminally crazy all the time, quite often, you know, testimony. I'd just be curious to see what she has to say. What she has to say about this, because given that they actually conspired and planned to kill their mom and dad, what was it, 35 years ago? 35 years ago, I'm trying to remember how long. I was a young man, you know, back when this was going on. But killing mom and dad and wanting to make it look like a robbery, right? Wanting to make it look like a robbery so that they could keep the big family fortune intact, and it ended up not working out for them, of course, naturally. But I don't know, how do you start pleading, sexual abuse and things like that means it's okay to kill them and grab the loot? You know, I don't know. Yeah, we'll have a little talk about that. I always enjoy talking with Dr. Carol Lieberman. We'll also have Jay Martin, who runs the Siskiyou.News, Siskiyou News website. And I think it's important to stay in touch with people like him who are friendly to alternative news stories out there that you'll never see making it into, let's say, the Rogue Valley Times and various other mainstream newspapers, and what you'll see on television and everything else. And the part that we can't help but notice is that when you try to share their news, social media shuts it down and shuts it down hard. I'm going to ask him what is going on with that. We're also going to have a little conversation with Michelle Exner. Michelle Exner from Parents Defending Education, great organization working to bring parents back in the educational process and, you know, trying to get rid of this whole situation of these are our kids. Yeah, they're your kids. Once we let go of the government school, once the government school lets go of them, but we have them longer each day than you have at the end of the day. So our values, the government school values, are going to be your kids' values. But anyway, we're going to be digging into that stolen land statement. And remember, we had that with the Jackson County Library, this controversy a few months ago. I mean, all this talk about the stolen land, you know, all land essentially ends up being stolen by someone and then kept by someone who is able to defend it. Private property, you know, the property that you have these days, you can talk about some land being stolen by this particular tribe. Indian tribes stole land from other tribes. As a matter of fact, I've been reading this great book that Bob Shan lent me because we were talking about Captain Jack. Remember the Modoc Indian who ended up, along with, you know, many braves, ended up holding off the U.S. Army, you know, for quite some time, like a year and a half over Modoc County area. Back in the day, held them off. And it's a fascinating story. And I've been reading this first edition that Bob lent to me, and I'm loving the read. And you find out the politics that was going on with the Indian tribes here in Southern Oregon. As an example, the Klamath tribe was the wealthy tribe because it had lots of land and lots of resources. The Modocs were kind of the ugly stepchild. The red-haired ugly stepchild, you know, they didn't have a lot of land. They didn't have a lot of wealth, as it were. You know, they'd fish out of Tule Lake and places like that. But You know, everybody would be grabbing land from one another in the various wars, and even in the Indian tribes, you had land when you had the forces to be able to defend it from being taken by someone else. And that's the way it's always been throughout human history. Yeah, you can say, this is mine. Not unless someone who is bigger, stronger, and tougher and able to exert more violence can take it from you, right? That's just it. That's the way it has always been. So all this talk about stolen land, what, do we have all these people standing up at the library meetings and, well, we're on stolen land. Okay, well, let's give it all back. Let's give back the library district and quit taxing you for the library. Oh, no, 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 we can't do that. We can't do that. Knowledge, knowledge, you know. Anyway, we'll have a good talk with Michelle about that. Noah Robinson running for Senate. I think it's third district or second district. I forget. I'll get the number straight by the time Noah's here. You know, the number's not important. The fact is that if you're in Joe County, you vote for Noah Robinson in parts of Jackson County. All right, we'll talk with him. Haven't seen him for a few months, and he'll drop in and we'll find out what's going on with that. And, of course, local history with Dr. Dennis Powers. 770-5633. And if you want to talk, I'll get right to your call in just a moment. Wanted to make sure that we noted a couple of important stories. Had a couple of shootings over the weekend. Two shooting incidents here in Southern Oregon. Saturday night, Sunday morning, about 2:30, 3 o'clock, somewhere in that neighborhood, Medford police and a whole bunch of other cops end up showing up 2600 block of Bullock Road. Now, this is the same road area where, like, Applin Auto Body, Lithia Body and Paint, there's the batting cage there, there's some storage in there. I'm not exactly sure of the address, which one of these businesses, but there was someone having a big party, like about 80 people at some private event, some private party or whatever it is, and there was a security guard there, and one or more suspects ended up capping off some rounds at the security guard. And they ended up striking a juvenile that was there and the security guard. Now, they were taken to the hospital. No life-threatening injuries. In fact, I think the teenager was treated and released. As far as suspects, I know Medford police say they'll have some more information, but I haven't seen any additional reports since that time. Maybe you've heard about that. But, yeah, we had that happen. And then Friday night... And I haven't seen this much reported anywhere, but there was a post here that there was a shooting near Hidden Valley High School, Joe County. And this was a post by, is it Crystal Graham that I received this from? We want to reassure our students, staff, and the entire Hidden Valley High School community that our top priority is their safety. Last night, this was Friday night that they were talking about. There was a shooting in close proximity to Hidden Valley High School up Spencer Creek Road. The incident did not involve high school students, and the suspects had been identified or have been identified. OSP, Josephine County Sheriff's, working to follow up leads to locate the individuals. And since the incident, Three Rivers School District Office, OSP, Joe County Sheriff's, have been in direct and constant communication with administration. Continued efforts to ensure the safety of our community, especially our students, have been at the forefront of our discussions. Now, rumor has it from a couple of listeners up there sharing their opinion that they think that they were former high school students, that the suspects, that is, that that showed up at like a high school party. It was homecoming night. So I don't know a whole lot more than what has been shared by the high school, but something to keep an eye on. I'm sure we'll hear more from Josephine County Sheriffs and others, okay? It's 20 minutes after 6, 770-5633. Let me go to the phones. Hi, good morning. And who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill. This is Russ, Grants Pass.
Hey.
I have a problem getting a clear reception on your station.
Yeah. Switch it to 99.3 for this morning. Are you in Grants Pass, a section of Grants Pass right now?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. The 105.9 signal ended up getting damaged over the weekend, and it will require a hands-on visit later today. I don't know what's going on, whether it got zapped or... Yeah, so that's what happened. It took some damage, and it's weak. It's there kind of barely, and so I'm going to have to put on my engineer's hat a little bit later this morning and try to get that repaired, okay?
And, that'd be great. I appreciate it.
Yeah, but for right now, you can get the morning show right now on 99.3 in Grants Pass, just like we used to, because we always keep it on 99.3, too, in the morning. Just the morning show. The rest of the talk, though, is on 105.9 normally. Okay? All righty?
Right. So So at 9 o'clock, I'd have to just listen to the static.
Yeah, at 9 o'clock, it'll be a beautiful static until hopefully I have a feeling that since it's on weekly, I think what happened is that there's a small transmitter going into an amplifier, and my gut tells me the amplifier, ended up failing for whatever reason. And so I might be able to just bypass it temporarily and put the small transmitter on, so I might be able to get it back on. It might not be quite as strong, but certainly better than it is right now. Okay?
Okay. I could probably watch it on my computer, right? Or listen to it?
Yeah, KMED.com. KMED.com, yeah. And just stream and everything. Everything goes through there 24/7. Okay.
All right. I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you.
All right. Hey, glad to help. That's what happened. I forgot to mention that. I was going to mention that when I first came on, but yeah, no conspiracy. But the radio equipment works, and like any other piece of radio equipment, it can fail after a number of years.
I was ready to go to Radio Shack and buy a new antenna.
Except there's no Radio Shack. Well, no, you do have Radio Shack out in. Near Cave Junction, isn't there an old Radio Shack, or did they close that finally? You know?
I'm not sure, but I think there's one up by Home Depot. I mean, not Home Depot, but Diamond.
Oh, Diamond.
North in the town.
Yeah, maybe that's where I saw it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the Radio Shack of old, but I guess they stole the name, and people can still use that as part of a franchise. But interesting, that's the story. We'll get it back on full power as soon as we can, okay? Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. And let me go to line two. Hello, this is the Bill Meyer Show. Who's this?
Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. What's going on with you?
Oh, just letting you know, in GP, you can't get 99.3. I just put it on. It's 100% static, but I can hear you pretty good on 105.9.
Are you sure it's 105.9 and not 99.3?
Yeah.
Huh.
I tried it twice. I was like, because I went to 99.3, 100% static. I went back to 105.9, was listening to you, then I went back to it again, and it does not work at all.
Okay. It looks like I have even more work than I thought. I was listening to 99.3 on the way in. I'll get back to you on all that, okay? Thanks so much.
Uh-huh.
All right. Ah, man, it's 23 minutes after 6. Interesting times. We'll get everything looked at, all right? This is the Bill Meyer Show on KMED 99.3 KBXG.
Imagine a Jackson County where every family feels safe, no resident is homeless, and all businesses succeed. Randy Sparacino will keep our communities safe by strengthening law enforcement.
His politics.
Yeah, really?
Newsweek said that too.
Unbelievable.
We'll never crack the code, okay?
Weekdays 9 to noon on 106.3 KMED.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED.
27 after 6. Okay, I guess when it rains, it does pour. We appear to have a power failure in a section of Grants Pass. That, of course, powers KBXG for the 99.3 FM. So hopefully that will get that remedied here in the next few minutes. And like I said, sometimes when it rains, it pours. I don't know. I'm hoping that we're not going to be getting back to this situation where Josephine County seems to get more of the power outages than many places. I don't know. We'll get back to you on this particular situation. All right. Some of the other news that we have going on this morning, for where you can listen this morning, is an incredibly successful weekend for Donald Trump. Of course, he ended up being on Joe Rogan's program. Ended up listening to it for a little bit. There's nobody that I want to listen to, continually about one particular subject for 3 hours. But from what I did hear, pretty good stuff. And I think that was good. He ended up preaching a lot of young men, especially with that. 20,000 or so people over at Madison Square Garden, also very successful. I ended up watching it with, seeing Tulsi Gabbard, showing up. They had Dr. Phil was also there. Elon Musk doing a great job. Everybody getting involved. Melania ended up introducing the Donald. And very successful one way or the other. Just a great weekend. And it's really interesting to see the different kinds of Democrats that have shown up for Donald Trump and are understanding what's going on here between RFK, Bobby Kennedy Jr., and Tulsi Gabbard and various other people. And by the way, Tulsi actually switched parties and became a Republican. And she's all in on that. In the meantime, you have Dick and Liz Cheney over on Kamala Harris's side. I know it's a bit of a head scratcher, But then we have some state representatives that endorsed Tobias Reid for Secretary of State when there's a perfectly good Republican, an excellent Republican, who is on the ballot too. So I guess party politics doesn't matter for much. What's the point of having a party, I guess, really? Interesting. But we'll have a little bit more talk on that. Now, one of my favorite financial bloggers, and that is Mike Shedlock. He runs a blog called Mishtalk, mishtalk.com. He poses an interesting question because the money people are always keeping an eye on the election for big reasons, of course, as you can completely understand. And they're saying, are bond markets yield, are bond market yields rising? Let me try this again. Are bond market yields rising due to a surge in Trump? And he writes that Jim Bianco has some interesting charts and a corresponding explanation for the surge in 10-year treasuries. And they're showing that the 10-year treasury is boosting. In August, the election betting market and the bond markets were negatively correlated and very strong. Now they seem strongly correlated in a positive sense. Bianco says, arguably the most significant impact on the bond markets, the higher Trump's betting goes, it will stimulate growth, cutting taxes and regulation, but potentially creating more inflation. This with tariffs. And Shedlock says, I agree with Bianco that Trump will stimulate more inflation if he carries out the tariff plan. But, you know, that's what he's saying. I don't know if I agree with it one way or the other. But they're kind of correlating the rise in Treasury yields for the inflation play. And by the way, this is something to look at when you're looking at the price of gold right now. Price of gold still in that 1750, 1760. I think it was 1760 for a little bit at 2760, rather, at one point this morning. And really, I think what we're seeing is that the market is pricing in inflation no matter what presidential candidate is in there, because neither Harris nor Trump are talking about really shaving the budget. They're just not doing that right now, all right? It's 6:32 at KMED. This is the Bill Meyer Show. Dr. Carol Lieberman joins me here in just a moment. Now, I did want to give you a heads up that we do have some power outages causing some problems. KBXG is down for this particular reason. We have an outage in Grants Pass. Like I said, don't have any control over that. And we'll see if we hopefully it gets back in pretty soon. And 105.9 is down for a completely different reason, or may be very weak in your particular deal. So I would suggest that at this point in time for this particular morning, streaming on KMED.com is the best way to go for time being. And later this morning, the engineer, me, puts on his hat, gets into the Toyota 4Runner and starts going out and trying to fix stuff. But I can't do the show and do that right now. So that's what's going on, okay? Or you can always keep it on Facebook Live right now, too. FacebookLive.com/Bill Meyer.
We'll expedite all background checks to get you approved quickly. Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearm leader. 4934 Crater Lake Avenue, Medford. Visit Good Guys Guns today. That's Good Guys Guns. Good Guys Guns. You're hearing the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
Sometimes in order to keep my sanity, I like to kick it around here with Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, America's psychiatrist, a board-certified psychiatrist, award-winning and best-selling author, trained at NYU Bellevue. You've seen your share of not-well people over the years, haven't you, doctor? Welcome back to the show.
Yes, I have.
Glad to hear that. But anyway, you seem to have managed just fine, of course. Now, once again, what is the best website for everybody to find out everything Dr. Lieberman? Let's start that first,
well,
okay?
I have a few different websites, but these days, well, since we're going to be talking about the Menendez brothers,
right,
a legal issue, I'll give out my expert witness website, which is expertwitnessforensicpsychiatrist.com.
Okay, got that. Expertwitnessforensicpsychiatrist.com, all right? And I'm sure this is something which will be very helpful when we come to what we're going to discuss right now. Last week, we had the L.A. County D.A. George Gascon announcing that he wants Eric and Lyle Menendez to be resentenced immediately. Now, I remember this as I was a younger man when this happened. I don't have all the details in front of me, but I remember that they conspired with one another and stuck shotguns in mom and dad's faces and blew their heads off. and then they were trying to make this look like a robbery. Correct?
A mob hit.
Yeah, and so they wanted the money apparently. And how do we get to the point where George Gascon says that they have paid their debt to society now? What's going on there?
Well, okay. Well, first of all, they murdered their parents in 1989. Mm-hmm. And they've spent 34 years in prison so far. They had several trials. First, they had two separate trials, you know, one for each of them, and they ended in mistrials. Then they had another trial with the two of them together, and in that trial, they weren't allowed to present any evidence or any bring it in as a defense that they were sexually and emotionally and physically abused by their father, and their mother knew about it and she didn't protect them. So they've been, you know, spending time behind in prison. They supposedly have been pretty good prisoners, and there's this new how we got to George Gascon having a press conference last week and saying that they should go for resentencing. I mean, he can't totally control that. It goes to a court, but chances are that they will send them for resentencing. Netflix put out a series called Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story. I watched it. I recommend it. It is really so well done.
It's so well done, but do you think it was true? Were things portrayed accurately, in your opinion?
Well, I think so. You know, we don't know every single. I mean, the people who were creating it did do a lot of research. Mm-hmm. Eric didn't like it because he said that it was, you know, he doesn't believe that it was true. But I mean, he didn't think that everything was true. But I think primarily he didn't like it because it showed him having sexual identity issues and implied that he was having gay sex in jail and in prison. And but now in the movie, Eric was they were both presented as sympathetic. Eric was presented as more sympathetic. Lyle, really, not so much, because, you know, it showed that he was trying to get people. Well, first of all, he talked to a woman over the phone from prison, and she wrote everything down, or taped it, really, and you know, and made a book out of it, and it was very incriminating. But then what he was doing was trying to get people, and this was his efforts, though, to try to get people to do things to lie, basically. He was, you know, calling all kinds of people from jail and prison, trying to get them to lie about what went on and what his family was like and so on. So now, the movie, you know, the Netflix series, is what brought this to people's attention after all these years. There have been other series and there have been other books and so on about them. But this, I think, because this was particularly well done and it was fresh, this caused people to call the DA's office in Los Angeles, to call Gascon's office. And he said at his press conference that they were inundated by phone calls, you know, people who felt sympathetic to the brothers and wanted something to happen, wanted them to get out of jail, out of prison. And so this came at a particularly good time for George Gascon, because he was sort of sinking in the polls.
Well, yeah, he's essentially let the dirtbags run free in L.A. County, hasn't he, for all intents and purposes?
Well, it has to be. No, first they have to have, I mean, he has said he's sent it over to a court to have resentencing. The court gets to decide if they're going to resentence.
Oh,
and they also get to decide if they're going to let them out. You know, they were sentenced to life without parole. They barely missed getting the death penalty. But so, you know, in other words, Gascon is hoping that if this gets them free, although it'll probably be after the election, but even just his sending them for resentencing, he is hoping that a lot of people will like him for that and therefore continue to vote him in. That's where that's coming from. But now what the new evidence, I mean, you know, this is based upon supposedly new evidence. And the two things. One thing is a letter that was conveniently found right now after all these years, a letter that he wrote to his cousin, Andy Cano, who testified at his trial and said that Eric had confided in him that they were abused, sexually abused. But, you know, why he didn't bring this letter to court then when he was when he testified, when the cousin testified,
sure,
you know, is questionable. But now one thing that did happen that is a little more believable is that one of the Menudo band members, Roy Rosello, he has come forward and said that he was sexually abused by the father, by Jose Menendez, the brothers, you know, Eric and Lyle's father. And so now that is significant. And, you know, it's in the Netflix film. They talk about how the father was involved in promoting the Menudo brothers. So it really seems very believable that this band member, you know, of course, why the band member didn't come forward 34 years ago,
yeah,
or more, you know, I mean, of course, it's embarrassing to admit that, and he was younger then, and you know, there are reasons, but boy, to hold that in, let these people go to jail for life without parole, you know, because you're embarrassed to tell everybody that you were sexually abused by a man. I mean, it's believable, but it's not very nice.
Well, but still, let's think back to the Menendez brothers. They were, let's see, one was 18, the other was 21 years old when they killed their parents. Okay,
yeah,
they were adults. Right, these were not little kids, you know, at that point in time. So even if there had been, I know I'm doing a little bit of even if there had been sexual abuse, I don't recall the punishment for sexually abusing your kids being that the kids get to try to kill you or get to kill you and then keep the money because your parents are relatively wealthy, right? And then you get to make it look like a mob hit or a home invasion or whatever the case might be. I don't recall that being the punishment for sexual abuse. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know, I'm just saying.
True.
Okay.
That is true. You know, yes. I mean, it's not that there's an excuse for them to. I mean, it's just that they were less than 26. I mean, part of it also has to do with the fact that they were less than 26.
Oh.
And in California, if you are sentenced to a crime when you're less than 26, you get sort of special consideration. Although not really if you're sentenced to life without parole. But you know, they're using that extra little.
Yeah. What is their, what is the logic behind, or the intent, I guess, behind saying that if you commit a heinous crime before the age of 26, what, 26 is the new 18? Is that where we are?
Yes. Because, there have been cases that have been argued that a person's brain isn't 100% formed until 26. So some of these, like rash decisions, you know, impetuousness and all of that, has been in different cases explained by experts. Oh, well, you know, his brain wasn't 100% formed, that kind of thing.
Well, perhaps we should be raising the age of voting to 26 in that case. What do you think?
Maybe.
How about the age of consent? How about the age of consent? How about the age of contract? Why don't we just raise it all to age 26 if we're going to say you can get away with murdering or someone if you're under 26?
That's not a bad idea, really.
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, with me this morning. Now, are you supportive of what Gascon has tried to do? Why or why not? You know, saying that they could possibly be resentenced, or, you know, at least greasing the skids to do this.
I'm not supportive of why he did it. I'm not supportive of the self-serving reason that he did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has been a horrible, horrible DA in general before anything to do with the Menendez brothers. He's a progressive DA. He lets people off the hook. I mean, this is actually in keeping with his general philosophy that you don't have to stay, you don't have to stay in jail or stay in prison. You don't have to, you know, have harsh punishments. We should have social justice and all of that. So in a sense, it's similar to what he's been doing for all the years that he's, I mean, this is kind of in a more extreme case, but,
yeah.
But this is his general way of thinking that justice should be done. But of course, I think if he weren't running right now, or if he weren't losing in the polls, I don't think he would have done it.
Got it.
Let me just say, as far as whether I agree with it, you know, they have been model prisoners. I'll give them that. But I think Eric deserves to be let out. I don't think Lyle does, because I think Lyle is more of a sociopath.
Is Lyle the older one or the younger one?
The older one.
The older one, okay.
And he, you know, he was really the leader. Eric looked up to him. And it was mostly Lyle's idea to kill their parents.
So Lyle was driving the bus, but Eric got on the bus, is what happened.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what about the, you know, the psychiatrist who Eric told about the murders? Did he act professionally in all this, in your psychiatrist opinion there, with your code of ethics that, you know, that you all have?
No. He was a very bad image of a psychiatrist. Let me tell you, first of all, he had an affair. He didn't tell the cops directly, but he was having an affair with this woman who wanted him to divorce his wife, which he had promised to do, but he was not doing it so quickly. And he kept getting her to hang on and hang on, and he wasn't getting divorced. And so finally she got, when Eric told the psychiatrist about his parents' abuse and about their killing them, the psychiatrist taped it. Now, you know, the ethics are, the rules are, that you are only supposed to tell the police and tell the person who is in danger if the person is still alive. In other words, if a patient tells you that they are thinking of killing somebody, and you weigh that there's a good chance, you know, that they're serious.
Yeah, you think it's a credible threat to this person, to this potential victim, right? Yeah.
Yes. Then you're supposed to tell the victim, the potential victim, and tell the police. But these parents were already dead, so it was a little late. Eric didn't tell the psychiatrist until they were dead. So it was a little late for the psychiatrist to do anything. But anyway, he taped them. And then he gave the tapes, I guess, for safekeeping. Of course, boy, did he get that wrong. For safekeeping with this woman. And then when she got angry enough, you know, and realized that he was never going to divorce his wife, she brought the tapes to the police.
Oh, but, that's how that happened. All right. Did he ever get sanctioned for that, incident or not? I'm just curious.
That's a good question. I have to look into that. I'm not really sure. But clearly he was not a very good psychiatrist in many ways. So, you know, I think it wouldn't have been a bad thing if he lost his license.
Okay. Dr. Lieberman, if, one of the best takeaways on something like this, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. They may be resentenced, and, you think, Lyle is the worst of the two. Eric, like I said, was not, maybe, worth at this point after 34, 35 years of cutting loose or going on parole or something like that. But still, the bottom line is that if they're going to use sexual abuse as one of the big excuses here, and let's just say that the claims were true, though, what is the best?
I think they were true.
Yeah, what
I
is the?
Think they were true.
You think it was true then? Okay, what is the best way then to handle something like that, rather than training the future generation? Well, you know, if mom or dad are messing with you and they're not defending you, stick a shotgun in their face and we'll talk with you about that. And if you're under the age of 26, gosh, we'll make that even easier because it's, gosh, God bless California. Right. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
All right.
Do it before you're 26.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Especially if there's money involved. Especially with money. I got to get Bill Handel, the lawyer from L.A. involved.
Yes,
yeah. Especially.
Well, of course, what kids need to do, you know, anybody who's, I mean, everybody's hearing about this. So what kids need to do if they are being abused sexually, physically, emotionally, by their parents. And it is also a crime of the mother. I'm glad that it brought that out. Yes, the father was the one who was doing the abuse, but the mother knew about it and she didn't protect them because she didn't want the father, you know, she was having a great life with the father making tons of money. And so she didn't want the marriage to end. But anyhow, what you should do is to tell somebody, tell a trusted adult, tell a well, the first thing is if it's your father who's abusing you, or a male relative, or you know, any kind of relative, tell your mother. If she does nothing, then tell your teacher. Tell some adult who you trust, maybe the parent of your friend.
Now you understand that if you tell a truth or tell a teacher rather, I would imagine the case is the same in Oregon, I know it is in Oregon, but in California, aren't they mandatory reporters? Aren't they then required to report to authorities?
Yes,
they are.
Now, of course, under the most optimal circumstances, you know, you would be having psychological problems like the Menendez brothers did, and you know, you would tell your parents at least that you needed therapy, that they would see you were having problems, you were depressed, you had various problems, and they would think to send you to a mental health professional. But if that doesn't happen, then you need to tell somebody. You can even go into the police station yourself, you know, and make the report.
Now, just to as we conclude here on this talk, by the way, Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, Expert Witness Forensic Psychiatrist.com. It's a mouthful, but a lot of good information there. We're talking about the Menendez brother case here. So you think that there was sexual abuse. You think the evidence rises to this. So as far as looking for a resentencing, you're thinking this could be something which is reasonable. You think that Eric might be resentenced, but you think that that Lyle, he is the sick cookie that should probably be kept in. Would that be a fair assessment overall?
Well, yes, but then I don't think they're going to make a distinction between the two. You know, they'll either leave them both in or leave them both out, because I don't think they're going to. What they should do is have them examined by a psychiatrist for an evaluation to see if they would currently be a danger to society.
So that's it. Whether they are a danger to society.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's no parents to kill now at this point, so I guess Lyle,
right.
there's nowhere to go at this point. By the way, whatever happened to all the money? Did it get divided to the rest of the family? Whatever happened to that? Do you know?
Well, you know, that is sort of a mystery. I've been researching this, and there are various ideas about, you know, reports about what happened to the money. I mean, that was kind of the thing, too. The reason why they did it then was because the father had just disowned them, taken them out of his will, because they had robbed some houses, like they don't have enough money, right? So they just robbed some houses of their friends. So the father was very embarrassed by that. You know, that didn't look good for the father. And the father wanted them to be senators and wanted them. He had all these great ideas for them, and stealing wasn't a part of that.
Yeah, kind of a Kennedy type of attitude then, right? That's sort of a feel?
Yes,
all right.
Hmm. Yeah.
All right. So, what, as far as what happened, we don't know at this point. Maybe we'll talk about that another time, all right? I really appreciate that.
Sure.
Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD. Find out more, Expert Witness Forensic Psychiatrist.com. She's incredibly emotionally and mentally healthy. We appreciate you bringing your fine acumen to this, all right? Well, what's coming up next? Anything else you're going to be writing on or doing this week that we should know about, too?
Well, I just finished coming off the 9/11 and October 7th. Mm-hmm. I did a music video for October 7th as well. And people can find that on my other website, Expert Witness. Oh, no, I gave you that one already.
Yeah.
Terrorist Therapist. I go between my personalities. Terrorist.
yeah. You kind of go between Expert Witness Forensic Psychiatrist to Terrorist Therapist, one way or the other.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. TerroristTherapist.com. All right, Doctor, always a pleasure. Thanks for bringing on Keeping Us Mentally Healthy, okay? We can use that.
Okay.
Thanks again. And
you're very welcome.
We'll see you soon. It's 7 o'clock. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.
At Pressure Point.
Couple minutes after 7, KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, and KBXG, Grants Pass. Coming up here in the next few minutes, we're going to be talking with a gentleman from Siskiyou News. We're going to be talking with Siskiyou News about how the censorship is playing out on social media. We'll have a conversation about this, and I think that what's going on at Siskiyou News is actually pretty good, And it disturbs me when you try to share them and how it gets treated by social media. We'll have a little talk about that, okay? Now then, one of many emails of the day. Emails of the day is sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. And Mark from Grants Pass writes me this morning about crime and punishment. Says, you know, Bill, you watch legislators and it's law after law after law. The human species colors outside of social behavior a new law. There were basically just the 10 laws, the 10 commandments. In Grants Pass, we suffered about 4 years with a liberal city council, then as a national test case for homeless camping. Finally, the SCOTUS decision of not what but where homeless can camp. Our community was in the situation of having active hard drug dealers in residential neighborhoods, bordering schools, church, and at-risk honest citizens' very homes. Drug addicts and violence-prone people, literally sleeping 12 feet from a woman taking care of her husband with Lou Gehrig's disease. Anyway, middle of the day here the other week, from about 10:20 till 11 o'clock, a crew of three working our streets. They were on people's lawns. They were in people's carports. They were checking house doors. They were checking car doors. It gave you a neighborhood watch perspective. I personally had left the house to walk the dog. Just in that amount of time, these people were assaulting our very homes. Several neighbors called 911. They were kind of swamped with other stuff, so a slower response. One single woman alone called a friend at work as these folks were about 50 yards from her safe zone in the house. That person came home from work and engaged the men. One of the thieves became aggressive when he was told to leave the neighborhood by the citizen. As the man strutted over to the vehicle, he noted a locked and loaded Glock 9mm on the passenger side seat. He backed off and they left. Rumor is the police picked him up, but I don't know that as a fact. We are there here in Grants Pass. The honest people have PTSD from these drug addicts. The people have been terrorized. Well, first you talk, and then you bring others in a group and you talk. And then you use non-deadly force, and then you use deadly force. That's just how it is. Mark, I appreciate you writing. The email, Bill, at BillMeyerShow.com. We'll catch up with Town Hall News, and then talking with Siskiyou.News, the head of that, and about censorship and fighting that.